All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started here today. I'd like to thank you all for attending our first coaches/players/people-with-legs-or-body-parts conference. My name is Fred Moreland. I put this together, I guess, and I'm planning on speaking very little today. We have a great panel of people who will be presenting and talking about things. Real quick question, is the back of the door bothering people? Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. I'm fully expecting people to come in late because, hey, Quiz Bowl. Just a few things. First of all, these are the microphone with the big yellow thing I hold in front of my face is actually recording. So if you speak into it at any point, you're basically acquiescing to have your voice propagated online. Just don't get weird. Also,
too late.
That's right, that too. Also, as much as people may enjoy Howard Stern, please don't practice your Baba Booey's on the recording, just because I don't know how to work Audacity. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to start with the coaches stuff, as previously mentioned, and we're going to start with Mike Loudermith. Thank you very much for coming in, Mike. And he has a presentation that he's got ready to go through, and Mike, take it away.
All right. Thank you very much, Fred. Thank you very much for inviting me here. Great to see everybody here at the 2015 PACE NSC. My kind of opening here is just general thoughts on why I think coaches matter, and borrowing some ideas from a mentor of mine from Illinois World of Scholastic Bowl, David Reinstein, some of the things I think every coach should know. So if you have more like focused interests in like how I prep my students, what I do at practices, I'd be happy to answer that during the Q&A session. I'll also say that this presentation is in large part drawn from talks I've given in Illinois in previous years at our association's coaches conference, the SCOBOL Fest. That is mainly directed at novice coaches, newer coaches. So if you're listening to me talk and you think, wow, this guy's not telling me anything I don't already know, I apologize in advance for that. I'll be happy to tell you interesting war stories from the land of Lincoln later on, if that's what you came for. But let's start with why I think coaches matter. And I say that fully recognizing the fact that in the past there have been individual players, there have been teams that have been extremely successful without a coach, or in some cases despite the presence of a coach at their school. Now, knowing that, but also knowing my background in Illinois, I think coaches have made a difference in my state. And not to toot my own horn, because that's not why Fred invited me, I'd like to think that I've made a difference in the success of Scholastic Bowl, Quiz Bowl at my school. So knowing that, I think if a team has an engaged, enthusiastic coach, one who's willing to work as hard as he or she asks the players to work, I think there's nothing that that team can't accomplish. When you have a coach willing to do that, first thing, you have a person who will set achievable goals. Being a teacher, having a background in education, I think goal setting is extremely important. And in many ways, Quiz Bowl is an academic activity, very much like an additional class in school in terms of what we're asking students to do, certainly. And you need to set goals for your team, with your team, that are both high goals, but ones that students can strive toward and be successful at. I can honestly tell you, my team has never won a national championship. We've never come close. We finished last year in the top 50 teams at the NSC, which I was extremely proud of my players for doing that. In the time that I've been coaching, this is my 10th year coaching, 9th year as a head coach at my school, at Fenton High School. We've started with some very modest goals. One of my original goals was just to have 5 players commit to showing up on a Saturday to go to a tournament. And that sounds like a laughably simplistic goal, but when I started at Fenton High School, I didn't have that. I had people say, yeah, coach, we're going to come to a tournament. And then the morning comes, and I'm standing there with the school bus, and the minutes tick by, and I'm still all alone. And then I weep bitter tears with only the embrace of the school bus driver to comfort me. Okay, exactly. Today, I can at least say, yeah, I've got a group of 20, 30 students who will show up to practice, who come to tournaments when they're telling me to come. I consider that a goal achieved just for my team. Now, of course, being a competition, we kind of want to achieve a little bit more than that. So we've measured our goals accordingly over the years. We set a goal that within 3 years we were going to win a regional tournament for the Illinois State Series. We did that last year. We set a goal that we were going to make the top playoff bracket at every tournament that we competed in. We did that. I had individual players set goal. I had a student as a freshman tell me that he, the next year, was going to be an all-state player. By gosh, he did it. So I think having a coach around to help guide those goals and to remind students of those is a very valuable function for that person. Another thing I think, another reason why I think coaches matter, the coach is the thread of continuity that runs through that team, if you follow me. Every 4 years, at the very least, you know you're going to have a turnover in players. And if you're fortunate enough to have players who are going to college nearby that can come back and help you, great. I really haven't had that very much to a degree. So every 4 years, I'm dealing with a group of students who might see our trophies in the hallway, might see our pictures. They can certainly look up some of the stuff we've accomplished online if they're so inclined. But I'm there to tell them, you know what? Players from this school, students who started off with no more knowledge than you, and some had less than others, they were able to achieve X, Y, and Z by doing A, B, and C. I'm here to tell you that because I watched them do it. Now I'm going to tell you how they did it. You're going to do it, and we're going to set goals that we can achieve. I think that's an important thing, having that adult on the team to tell students that, you know what, we're not really starting from scratch. I've seen this team be successful. I can guide you how to get there as well. And I think that's an important thing for a coach to be able to do, to sort of establish that sense of a team culture, a team attitude, if you will, that we can be successful if we do this, this, and this. And what that this, this, and this is, we can get into more in the Q&A session. But just by telling students, if you show me dedication, if you come these times when I ask you to come and practice, if you show up to these tournaments I've asked you to show up to, I promise this will show results. I promise there will be dividends. You will be proud of what you do. I think that's an important role for a coach. A couple other things, and I can sort of borrow this probably from any activity or sport. Having a coach is having a role model, someone to both model good habits, and in the case of Quiz Bowl, that could be showing up on time. It might just be a good habit that you instill in your students, or how to study outside of practice, or how to focus your efforts, or how to divide up tasks to build a well-balanced team, or simply making sure you bring a pencil to take notes are all things I think a coach can model. Good sportsmanship, how to not only win with grace, but also lose with grace. I think you are there partly to keep students honest. And I say that not just meaning you tell your students don't cheat, do that. That's important too. But when I say keep students honest, I mean hold them accountable. If we're going to treat this as a competition worthy of our time and our students' time, I think there needs to be accountability on both sides of that playing field. That if a student has committed to learning Shakespeare plays or the periodic table of elements or the monarchs of England, that you're there each week to quiz that student to ask them, did you study what you say you were going to study? Are you going to make a contribution to this team like you promised you would? I think that's a totally legit thing for a coach to do, especially because teams, while we'd like to think that every player and every student has this great intrinsic motivation to do well at Quiz Bowl, they're teenagers, they're students, and it's not always easy if you're on a team with your friends to hold your friends accountable for things like that. I think that's a totally valid role for a coach to take on. And then beyond that, just getting into more of the logistic things, I think coaches matter because they're a resource for the players. They can be a resource just in terms of their own knowledge. I'd like to think that in going on close to 25 years of being involved in Quiz Bowl one form or another, I have something to teach you. I do not claim to be an expert in any particular subject matter, but I know a lot about the Quiz Bowl canon. I'm there to guide you. And also, I know resources online. I maintain a Google Drive that I share with all my players, with all my lessons, top 10 lists that I put together, all the resources I've gathered. I can help you get better if that is what your desire is. And probably, you know, just the grunt work. I'm here to handle the logistics, to plan the transportation, to worry about budget, to help guide fundraising, to plan ahead for things like national tournaments, taking that pressure off my students and getting them to focus where I want them to on improving as Quiz Bowl players so that we can continue that success. Could any or all of those jobs be done by the students themselves? Yes, and as I said, I know that there are students in the past who've done that. But I think if a coach is also there working alongside those students, I think you're going to see an exponential level of improvement. So going beyond that, what are the things I think every coach should know? And again, this is nothing magical. I'm not coming up here with anything that you probably don't know already. These are things I've learned from my coach mentors back in Illinois. The team belongs to both you and the players. And if you want to see improvement, you have to make students take ownership. If I want to see success in my classroom with my students when I'm teaching science, I need to take ownership of my classroom. Students need to take ownership of the team. That's why I try to include my players in all the big decisions we make. Now, it can be from things as simple as, what's our team shirt going to look like this year, to, hey, the start of the season, let's plan a calendar. What tournaments do we want to go to? Is our goal to go to nationals? We better start planning for that now. How are we going to fundraise? What are the important dates for that? Who is willing to make a commitment right now to actually go to nationals? If we are going to, say, set a goal of finishing top three in a tournament, what work do we need to do as a team in practice to make sure that's going to happen? What are you going to be responsible for? What is your teammate going to be responsible for? How are you going to make sure they're staying on top of what they're supposed to be doing? I find that in the last 5 years, which is when my team has been at its most successful, it's because there was one or more students there who was willing to take on a leadership role. And in some cases, I'd say it was a leadership role equal to my own. That student was essentially a co-coach. We call them captains or co-captains, but that student coached the team and coached younger players, I think, to the same extent I did, even when I wasn't there. I think every coach should know, and this I get again from one of my mentors, David Reinstein, that your opponents in Quiz Bowl aren't really your opponents. In Illinois, I'm very fortunate to be part of a strong community of Quiz Bowl coaches and players. Do I want to beat all of them? Yes. They're laughing back there because they know that hasn't happened yet. But remember what it, goal setting, right? It's all about goal setting. Achievable goals. One day, beating some of the other teams, and all that will be an achievable goal for my team. And then it will be their turn to weep. And I will be gracious. Probably. Okay. I've learned a tremendous amount from the other people involved in Quiz Bowl in my state. Coaches, players, college players, and even though in some cases we often face each other week in, week out as competitors, as opponents, I still continue to learn from them. We share ideas. We work together to make Quiz Bowl in our state better for all our students. And when I see them being successful at the state level, at the national level, I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of what we're doing in Illinois. I think every coach needs to know that while you want the activity to be fun, because if it's not fun, nobody should want to do it. It needs to be about academic learning, and it can't just be glorified Trivial Pursuit. At the start of every year, I have to ask myself an important question. What kind of team do I want this year? If I just want this to be a casual, kind of fun activity, okay, that's fine. And if that's what the students want, that's fine too. That may not be what necessarily I would want, but I understand they're part of the team too, and we can do casual. But if my players say, we want to win, we want to improve, we want to get better from last year, then I need to make sure I keep in mind that we are constantly learning. Yeah, can we play some trash questions once in a while? Sure. Can we goof around and practice sometimes? Sure. But I want to make the most of the time that I have making sure that my players are improving, because I see my role as a coach first and foremost as a teacher. I see it as an extension of my teaching day. I need to teach you some of the things that you're not necessarily exposed to in the classroom. And kind of to wrap up my list, you know, what coaches should know. Go to the next page here. I think you just have to remember that we need to treat different students differently. That's a no-brainer for anyone who's in education or who's a teacher, of course. That's the basis of being a classroom teacher. We know that all students are individuals, and they don't necessarily learn the same way. I don't think every player necessarily needs to be coached the same way. I've had players who functioned very independently, studied on their own. I could put them in a room by themselves with a laptop, and I know that if I came back an hour later, they would have made the most of that time, and they would have learned an hour's worth of new material. And then I've had players where I know I need to keep an eye on this person. They need the encouragement. They need the pat on the back. They need the correction if I see them going in a wrong direction. Or in some cases, the entire group. I need to give them guidance on how to work better, to collaborate actually as a team. Some players I've seen kind of spontaneously know how to collaborate, especially if they're friends. Others, if this is a group of freshmen, they don't really know each other. That's something I need to model and help them with. So that is kind of just my insight into coaching. Again, I don't think it's anything that you probably don't know already, but it's been a benefit to my team. It's what I've seen other successful teams do in my state and around the country. And I thank you for your time and letting me have a chance to talk to you.
Thanks, Michael. Next up, we're going to have Nicholas Cross speak about how to recruit teams for your tournaments. He has a lot of experience doing this in California, particularly with California Berkeley. They've gone from hosting tournaments regularly with like 6 or 8 teams to 20 and 30. And Nicholas, along with the help of Jeff Hoppus, who couldn't be here, have done a lot to just find new teams and get them started and get them going. And take it away, Nicholas.
Thanks, Fred. So I'm Nicholas. As he mentioned, I've been at Berkeley the past few years, and I'm originally from Northern California. And there are two aspects of outreach as a coach. One is getting more players to join your club at your school. But most of the time I'm going to talk about getting teams to attend local tournaments, getting new teams, new schools involved, and how to go about that. Since I started doing a lot of outreach in Northern California, mostly at the high school level about 3 years ago, the main thing I have learned, which I think has really helped me, is being persistent. I think being persistent has really helped me. In particular, there are many ways that you can reach out to new schools. For example, sending emails to coaches of other activities, Science Bowl, History Bowl, Academic Decathlon, Debate. Writing emails to them is a good first start, explaining how Quiz Bowl works, what is Quiz Bowl, what are the benefits of playing Quiz Bowl. And that ties into being confident about Quiz Bowl. You have to have confidence that Quiz Bowl is worth their time. If you're not able to sell to them that Quiz Bowl is a fun activity, it's a great way for students to learn more things, to expand their horizons, to build team skills, to learn how to win or lose, then if you're not able to do those things, then I think it'll be difficult to get more schools involved in your local areas. And one of the things I've also learned that's pretty important is that basically all outreach at the high school level is done at the local levels. I think a lot of that has to do with state organizations which have been created in the past few years, such as in California, Missouri, Illinois, Texas. A lot of these states have quiz bowl organizations where the members of these organizations are going to schools, talking to these debate coaches, sending flyers in the mail, writing emails to these coaches, again, being very persistent about things. If you write an email to a science bowl coach at a local high school, say, describe how quiz bowl works, mention, oh, we're hosting an upcoming tournament. This is a great activity for your students to be involved in. If you don't hear back from them, wait another 2 weeks and write to them again and say, no, we highly encourage you to join us, especially if it's an easier level tournament, such as a novice level tournament, or if you're using an ISA set for NAQT. Those are perfect tournaments for new teams to get involved with. If new teams come, new schools come, and they're playing against, LASA A or DCCA all the time, they probably won't think very highly of it. So I definitely recommend, especially for novice level events, writing to local schools, whether it's by email, writing to coaches at debate, or writing to principals and explaining how quiz bowl works. Especially for novice events, I think that's very helpful to get them, new teams, to play easier level questions against other newer level teams is, I think, very helpful. So again, being persistent, being confident, and being able to explain that quiz bowl is worth their time. It's a great activity. It's a great way to learn new things. And that also has to do with building networks and building relationships with people. Being friendly. Just being persuasive also, and being persistent. I think that's helped me a lot in meeting new people and meeting new teams. Being able to convince people that, hey, quiz bowl is a great activity. It's a lot of fun. You learn a lot of things. It's not just a high school activity, unlike other activities such as Science Bowl, where you can't play it in college, for example. You can play quiz bowl in college and grad school. You can play it, theoretically endlessly. So, so if as a coach you are interested in hosting a tournament, and you're interested in writing, maybe sending out flyers to local schools which aren't involved in quiz bowl, Pace now has an outreach fund where schools or coaches or teams can apply for money or funds or being reimbursed for sending out flyers to your local events and trying to encourage new teams to come. So outreach fund next year, if you're hosting a tournament, you're welcome to apply for money if you think that will help out. All right. So other ways to contact these new teams. As I mentioned, emails are helpful, sending out flyers. And another thing that I've also felt is very helpful as a student is that, if you know people on teams that already do quiz bowl, high schools in your area that already do quiz bowl, knowing members of the teams, you can talk to them and ask, hey, do you know someone at this other high school? They don't do quiz bowl. Do you know anyone at that high school who might be interested? I think that's helped a lot. Branching out, building networks, being friendly with people has really helped, especially for Northern California. Sometimes, I talk to people, I said, do you know someone at this high school who you think might be interested in doing quiz bowl? And they say, oh, yes, I think I know this one person. I'll talk to them. And let's say, a week goes by and you don't hear back. Again, being persistent, I write back and say, oh, how's it going? Did you talk to your friend at the high school? Did they express interest in doing Quiz Bowl? And sometimes they say no, and sometimes they never hear back. But several times I've heard, yes, they're interested in doing Quiz Bowl. They have some friends who want to start a team. When's your next tournament? And then we send them along information about upcoming events. So emails, flyers, talking, meeting mutual friends. Also calling up people, such as maybe principals or debate coaches, things along those lines. Again, contacting people in different ways. They know that you're being serious about it, that it's not just a spam letter they got in the mail or spam email. You try to contact them in multiple ways, you know, phone, sending a flyer, maybe talking to some of their students if you can find a mutual friend there. The more ways you can get to coaches who are involved with other activities at other schools, I think the better. All right, so one other thing I wanted to mention about getting more teams involved and getting teams that are less active to be more active. Most of the top teams in your areas will continue probably to come to your events, play Quiz Bowl. They've already been doing it for years. So there are a lot of these middle-range teams or newer teams which maybe you need to do more convincing. Hey, we have this tournament coming up. You guys should come play. Oh, well, we should do our homework instead, or we've got another event. Getting a lot of these teams involved to show that you're being serious about Quiz Bowl, that Quiz Bowl is an activity they should spend time doing, that they should be involved with, is a great way to get more teams involved. In Northern California, about 4 years ago, Berkeley, every December, we host a Cal Classic. About 4 years ago, we had about 10 teams, of which, three were from one school, three were from another, and two were from one, and two were from another. So we have 10 teams from four different schools. And by continuing being persistent, talking to teams, contacting teams, writing to teams, now we're hosting a series of four tournaments during the year called the Cal Cup, usually two in the fall semester and two in the spring semester. And this year at one of the tournaments, we had a record 48 teams. So over the course of just 2 or 3 years of being persistent, talking to teams, the circuit has just exploded. So I think being persistent definitely is the number one key, is the number one objective, something you should really follow when you're trying to expand the circuit in the area, write to more teams, etc. All right. Any questions or comments? Something similar to that also is, like, if you have a mailing list and you have, 50 coaches from around the area you send a mailing list to, maybe you'll hear back from some. But I think targeting specific coaches or specific names, as you mentioned, is also very helpful. If you write an email to, send a message out to 50 different people, one email to 50 different people, you're less likely to get a response back. They're less likely to read it through, as opposed to if you say, dear Miss So-and-so, Berkeley is hosting an upcoming tournament, et cetera, et cetera. And I think targeting specific people, coaches, is very useful. Having specific names of people, as opposed to just saying, dear Quiz Bowl coaches, I think they're less likely to respond or pay attention.
And if I can actually piggyback on that, another thing that I suggest is, I know it's time consuming, but it tends to have the highest percentage of returns is actually calling the school and speaking with the coach. Obviously, try to find out when their lunch break or when right after school is, so you can catch them in that 5 to 10 minutes where they're hanging out. But I've had a pretty good return rate of actually calling people and saying, hey, we've got this tournament coming up. It's on this date. Would you be interested in coming? So maybe give that a try.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
So that's another good point, starting at the bottom. How do you build college circuits? Well, you recruit people from the high school level to come to colleges and play Quiz Bowl in college. Well, how do you build the high school circuits? Starting in the middle school level is a great idea. There's a pretty, in my opinion, bad turnover rate from high school to college. A lot of people drop out, don't continue playing. I'm not sure about the turnover rate for middle schools to high schools, just because there aren't as many middle schools playing as there are high schools. But again, just being persistent. If you know people who have played Quiz Bowl in middle school, encourage them to continue learning. Especially in middle school, students tend not to be as involved in as many activities as in high school. So if you're trying to reach out to someone who's doing debate, track, ballet, etc. If they're already really consumed, it's probably less likely that they'll get involved, come, spend 10 weekends a year doing Quiz Bowl. But if you start at the middle school level, generally middle school students not as involved in as many activities. So hook them while they're young.
Thank you. At my high school, we have two public feeder schools, and in the past 3 years, I've been able to get academic teams, Quiz Bowl teams, started at both of those middle schools. And the way I did that with some help from my assistant coach is we approached the principals at both of those schools. We explained what Quiz Bowl was, because they really didn't know. And we were able to sell them on two big points. One, it's darn cheap. Two, it is academic. It's a way to provide opportunities beyond, say, sports or your regular extracurriculars for your gifted students. I found, working with some other middle schools, most middle schools have someone in that district with a title like gifted education coordinator. And I've also found that very often that person doesn't really know what to do with gifted students. You can provide that opportunity, and I think they will jump on it. If you tell them, hey, here's something, we're organizing it, we'll handle all the logistics of it, you just have to get the students to it. This is for your students to show what they've learned. This is where they can show academic talents off. Most middle schools really jump at that opportunity, but there is work on your end. So, for instance, at Fenton, at my high school, what we've done with our two feeder schools, in January, my students, my players on my team, actually run a scrimmage slash workshop for those middle school students. We invite them over with their coaches. My players organize little, like, 10-minute mini lessons on various Quiz Bowl topics. They run that themselves. Then we organize scrimmages with my players kind of acting as coaches and moderators. We provide them with snacks. We get the school, my school, to donate prizes to give away, shirts and pencils and all kinds of neat stuff that say Fenton High School on them. See, here's a good reason why you want to go to this high school, because we give you free stuff. And you might laugh at that and say, you're giving away pencils. So what? People like that. People remember that. If you give a little 8th grade student a pencil, they're going to take that back and they're going to use that pencil. And every time they look at that pencil, they're going to remember who gave them that pencil. And they're going to say, this sounds something like fun. I had a good time over there at Fenton High School. I think this is something I might want to check out next year when I'm at that school. In the 3 years since our feeder schools have started teams, I don't ever worry about recruiting freshman players anymore. They come to me. Even before our season starts, before I put in a single announcement, put a single sheet of paper up on the bulletin board, they're coming to seek me out saying, Mr. Laudermuth, when do these practices start? I want to be on the team. So the middle school students want to be part of this. I guarantee any middle school you look at, there are students who want to be part of Quiz Bowl. So if you can provide that opportunity for them, they will seek it out. That I promise.
All right. I think now would be a good time to open the floor to questions, just in the general sense. So because of the way the microphones are working, if you would like to, I'd appreciate it if you came up to the front of the room and asked any questions you should have. But if you don't feel like it, I'll just translate for you into the microphone. So any questions for the panel? Anyone? Yeah, sure. Come on up.
So, Coach Laudermuth, you talked a bit about making yourself available to students, offering help. The fact that you're knowledgeable about the canon sort of allows you to guide students in their studying if they want to get better. But I'm wondering, to what extent do you actually encourage them to study, and how much of that is their own initiative, and how much should you push, I guess?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I mean, ultimately, in the end, I'm not there to supervise a student 24/7. So they could always tell me, yeah, I'm going on Packet Archives, I'm reading these books, and I guess ultimately I don't know if they are doing it or not. I see the results in practice, and I see the results when we compete. But are there ways that I can at least make sure they're doing what I've asked them to do? Yes. Because, for instance, every week, every practice, I make every one of my players write a toss-up question. I give them a topic, and we usually go on themes, so it might be scientists, it might be plays, it might be symphonies, whatever it is, I'll assign them to them for the next practice, and I give them an index card. You got to bring in this index card. It's got to have a toss-up on it with a minimum of 3 clues. Now you're saying, okay, that's not a great toss-up. No. Well, this isn't a writing workshop, and I'm not planning to publish these questions, but I am forcing them to actually do some studying on their own, even if it was for only 10 minutes, and I at least have the proof that they did that. And I actually do keep track of that because I keep all these index cards that they turn in. And I actually give out prizes to players who actually consistently meet this goal that I've set for them. And I give away awards for most improved question writer because they actually get to read it to their teammates on the team. And they actually get to award points when, like, we do a scrimmage. So if you got this right when you were reading the question, whoever got that, their team on scrimmage actually gets a bonus 10 points. So that actually forces some of the kids to go out and look up harder clues because they don't want their friends to get these right now. Because they want, oh yeah, but here's what they don't realize: in the end, you're still winning because you actually learn something yourself, even if you're kind of screwing over your teammates. So there's that. The other thing that I do every practice, I do a coach's lesson. I like frame them as top 10 lists just because that's easier for me to write it that way. My school is kind of fortunate in that we gave every student a Chromebook, so they all do have computer access. That might not be the case at your school, but after every practice, as soon as we're done with practice, I'm on my laptop. I send them all a quiz through Google. And based on scores from that, and I keep track of that, and I publish that on my website, and they can check that out. That influences, for me, things like who my starters are when I'm planning my roster for games. So, do I push them? Yes. But I only push them to the extent that if you were at practice and you did what I asked you to do, you can be successful at this. Again, getting back to the idea of achievable goals. Now, I don't think I've ever said to a player, here's a stack of 5 packets. Go home and read these tonight and then tell me about them tomorrow. Because I know the player's not going to, even the most dedicated player, I can't ask them to do that. but I can at least show them resources for that, and I can ask them about it later on just to follow up again, kind of keeping them honest. Hey, did you get a chance to look at this packet that I recommended? Oh, yeah, what's something new that you learned out of there? And in that sense, at least, I've gotten good results. That's kind of a rambling answer. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Julie, Eric, would either of you like to kind of speak on that too?
I think Mike said some really, really good things. I want to touch on accountability because you talk a lot about that, and I think that is the most important thing that we can teach children through Quiz Bowl. One thing I would say to my kids is that, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you're probably not going to remember who wrote, you know, the Nutcracker. Well, maybe they'll remember that one, but that's a bad example. But you get the idea that they're not going to remember all of these things, but what they learn on the team, or what I want them to learn, is how to work together. And one thing that I liked to do with my team is my goal for them is not anything I ever shared with them, but I wanted that accountability as they went from 9th grade through 12th grade to shift from me to them. One thing that is true of virtually every teenager is they're more interested in working for a peer than they are for a teacher, a parent, or whatever. And when they're doing something because I tell them to do it, it's not going to be as effective as if they're doing something for each other. And I really tried to instill in them throughout the years that they were on the team that they have a responsibility not to me, not to the school, not to anyone other than the three people they're playing with. And over time, as they grew and as they matured, all of those things that I was doing with them when they were 9th and 10th grade, hey, did you study this? Did you study this? I didn't have to because they were doing with each other, and they were pushing each other. And so I really see that the coach's role is to create a culture on the team where students can grow and be accountable to each other.
Yeah. Iron Fist and the Velvet Glove. We've had really strong captains. Is this on? And they really set the bar pretty high. If you're going to be on the team, you have to learn. You have to learn fast. You're going to learn more about your players from their first tournament to their second tournament than, I mean, that's a Joe Paterno thing. Yes, I come from Penn State, but you learn a lot in your first competition, but when you see how hungry they are and how much they want to work to get better, and you can just plain run them off their feet, because as our first speaker said, there's just no limit to what they can do, and you don't have to even set the bar high. You just say you have to learn everything. We've been successful with writing a tryout test that we use as part of recruitment as well, and you uncover people who know things but just aren't fast in practice by using the tryout test. And it became another tradition or part of the culture for the seniors who have already made the team to write the tryout test for the rest of the club. That's worked well. And your star players asking them, you know, don't you see people in who's participating in Dr. Lechner's world or U.S. history discussion group? Who are the people that know things without being taught them? Who are the people in your English class that get the illusion? You know, who can read Shakespeare without stumbling over it? Wouldn't she like to come to Quiz Bowl? They're like, well, I don't know. Why don't you ask? I guess State High's always had a tradition of having girls. Maybe I'll just jump into this now. You know, it's not hard to attract girls to Quiz Bowl. You've got the odds are good, the goods are odd. But you've got tons of other carrots you can put out there that are important to girls. You know, being successful, being academically recognized. If you have to lie and say you're going to get into a better college because you're on the Quiz Bowl team, you lie and say you'll get into a better college because you're on the Quiz Bowl team. You know you want that girl. She's got the top grade in the advanced biology AP class. you know you need her on your team. You know, sometimes your other players will be like, well, if she comes on the team, I won't get any more questions. Well, duh. You know, you all need to work together. Knowledge is always the winner, not individual players. So you just, you know, food works too. And if you have a girl team, as Eric's going to say, I mean, I know he said, it's really important to talk about dress code and how they're going to look when they play. And again, you've got to carry your bag of tricks, and you have to have a sweater in the bag of tricks because the girls never remember sweaters that go with their outfits, and they won't borrow yours if it doesn't go with their outfit.
So it's about 7:50 right now. Do you guys want to go ahead with the scheduled break, or do you want to like keep discussing things until 8, or what's the plan? I think that they had planned on more of a Q&A thing, but yeah, sure.
I did, so kind of in reverse, I sort of have a handout, but I was more thinking if anybody wants to talk to us or email, starting in reverse, we could talk competition stress, you know, what to do when there's that team that your kids can't beat. We've learned a lot with travel. I have van rules that I would share with you. Trip tips, the role of the captain's important. We've appointed captains. I don't know if we want to get specific about how do you pick your captain.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about
that. You know, that's lots of different ways. We have buzzer skill exercises. Camp, we ought to talk about camp and lists versus how to identify the gap and fill it. We talked about the tryout test. Weekly practice, you've got to change it up. It's got to be a little different and fresh. We have at State High, we've always had a fall potluck with the families, a spring picnic, and the holiday party tradition. And a one big team trip has been a good way to do it. And, you know, again, it's esprit de corps, making it fun. Because if it isn't fun, they don't come. Well, my team used to do really badly in the game right after lunch was always our Achilles heel. It's always hard to get cranking up again. And then we discovered that heavy carbohydrate pizza lunch was probably our problem, as well as staying up late the night before in the hotel room, of course, which hits about the time that you put the pizza in there. So a high-protein lunch and caffeine, even against their parents' orders.
Any other questions right now? And, of course, Eric and Michael and Julie will probably have something to add when we move on to more, like, player development-specific topics later on. All right, if there's nothing else right now, we'll go ahead and take a 10-minute break. I'll pretend I know how to work the software, and then we'll get started back with Max, and we'll talk about improving as a player. All right, thank you all.